In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to continue. And we're on volume 23, January 18th, 1928. And on this feast of the Holy Name of Jesus in this new year, great things are going to happen this year. It's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult, but beautiful and wonderful things are going to happen. We've gone through a lot in the last couple of years, but Jesus has got plans, and these plans, God is going to win. God's going to take care of everything. So in volume 23, 1:18-19:28, the manifestations on the divine will, the manifestations on the divine will shall be the gospel of his kingdom. So here Jesus is telling Louisa that what he wants this book to be called, he wants how he wants this book to be known. He says the necessity of the first priests of the kingdom of the fiat. So she says, after this, I was thinking, what shall be the utility of these writings on the divine will? So Louisa, again, here's 1928. She's been in bed, you know, for at least 30 years here, possibly, well, 30, 40 years. And everything, she says, I don't understand. I know these writings are important, but what's going to happen with these writings? What are you going to do with these writings? So she'd get into this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus, she says, in my highest and only good, Jesus moved in my interior, because that's where Jesus dwells. He says to Louisa, I'm within you. And this is one of the things that the divine will does. A lot of times people pray to a God who's far, far away, 1,000 miles away. And in the prayer, it's always begging the same prayer over and over. Like a lot of people who are upset about their children or grandchildren are always focused on that prayer to the Lord. You know, you got to help them. You got to save them. And it becomes like a passion, a worry, a concern. And Jesus says, this is what he teaches Louisa. I'm within you. You've been baptized. You're now in my image. And with this book of heaven, I'm going to teach you how to live in my divine, in my likeness. So he says, Louisa, moving in her interior, and we little by little begin to understand our God is not many miles away. Our God loves his little children, and he's always playing with his children, always. And, what happens in the divine will, you begin to understand this playing that our God does with us. And it's always a delight. Our God loves us so much that he's helping us continuously. The closer we get to him, the more we see what he does in our life. And here, my daughter, all of my works hold hands. Okay, so everything works one with God. And this is the sign that they are my works, that one does not oppose the other. He says, on the contrary, they are so bound among themselves that they sustain one another. And he says, this is so true that having to form my chosen people, this is the Hebrews, from which within the future Messiah was to be born, from that the same people I formed the priesthood that instructed the peoples and prepared them for the great good of redemption. So Jesus is saying, as he worked with the Jews, getting everyone ready for the Messiah, for getting ready for himself, he says, I also formed the chosen people, and I also formed the priesthood. And I taught the priests what to do to prepare for this redemption. He says, I chose my people, and within that chosen people, the future Messiah was to be born. And from that same people, I formed the priesthood that instructed the people and then prepared them for the great good of redemption. I, Jesus, gave them laws, manifestations, and inspirations upon which the sacred scriptures were formed, called the Bible, and all were intent on study of it. So one of the things that we see with Jesus, you know, he said to the people who believed in the Torah, you know, you believe what Moses says and you know who I am. And he said to the Pharisees and the scribes, you know, you're not reading the Torah. You're not focusing on the word of God. And therefore you don't know, basically, you know, but you don't believe what Moses said about me, Jesus says. So you don't recognize me, the Lord said. What is essential is there's always two. There's the Messiah who gives us these gifts. So he says you have to make a choice. And that's where we are today. We're at the point of making a choice, making a decision to follow Jesus or not to follow Jesus. So those that follow the Torah and not the Talmud believed in Jesus. Those that follow the Talmud, Jesus says, your father is the devil. You know, you're not following sacred scripture. So here he says, with my coming upon earth, I did not destroy sacred scriptures. On the contrary, I supported them in my gospel that I announced to the apostles to the world, opposed them in nothing. On the contrary, they sustained each other in an admirable way. So here he says, the New Testament that he gave, the gospels that he gave, was all based on sacred scripture. And when you read sacred scripture, like, you know, some of the Jewish books that I have, when you read the atonement, the book of atonement, it's, you can hear St. Peter, you can hear St. Paul, you could hear, all of them praying these prayers focused on Jesus in their prayers, in their love, in their songs for God. And this is what's happening with us. We love Jesus Christ. We love sacred scripture. We love the Old Testament. We love the New Testament. And Jesus is saying, I've got more to give. And that's the thing that he's talking about right now. So he says when he was on earth, he says, in informing the new nascent church, I formed the new priesthood that does not detach itself either from sacred scripture or from the gospel. So what Jesus says is everything has been planned by God. Everything works hand in hand with God, the Old Testament, the New Testament. He says, all are intent upon them in order to instruct the peoples. And it can be said that anyone who did not want to draw from the solitary font does not belong to me, because these are the basis of my church, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the very life with which the peoples are formed. So Jesus makes it very clear that what he has done with the Old Testament and with the New Testament is get the world ready to understand redemption. So from creation to redemption, okay? And it was Jesus and Mary, that the new Adam and the new Eve, that brought this universal life that Adam lost back to humanity. And this is why when Our Lady is with the apostles on Pentecost Sunday, it's very clear. It's not just the apostles. It's Our Lady and the apostles. You know, she was helping, again, if you want to say, birth this church. And so with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, with the fire of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit, the Ruah of God, the breath of God, everything began. And it's the same thing today with the divine will. It's Jesus and Mary through Louisa who are bringing this gift to all of mankind. So he says this, now that which I manifested on my divine will, he's talking to Louisa, that you write, Louisa, can be called the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. So he gives this understanding that these 36 volumes, he says, are the gospel of the kingdom of the divine will. It's the proclamation of the kingdom of the divine will. Father Archbishop Piceri said in the Dawn of a Mystery, when you listen, he says, nobody in the history of the church nobody was said they were going to, they could explain how and why the kingdom is coming, how and why the Our Father is going to be fulfilled. And he says, this is Luisa's job. And when we get to read about Luisa, what Jesus tells Luisa, we begin to see how and why the kingdom has to be established, how and why we beautiful, that's so magnificent, is everything falls into place. For example, Our Lady saying to Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Luisa died, Our Lady says to Bruno, time has now come to an end. And Bruno goes, the end of the world? And she goes, no, the end of this era. Why? Era of sanctification is coming. And our Lord and our Lady are trying to get us ready for what's coming upon the earth. Now, there are many who don't want to see it, as you know, Jesus said at his birth, no priest showed up. They knew where the Messiah was going to be born, but no priest show up. As a matter of fact, Herod said to the Magi, find out about it and come back to me and tell me. There was no interest. There was no interest. What is really wonderful, when you read the Acts of the Apostles, it says that the disciples, the apostles, and the priests went out. You can see that many of the priests who knew the Torah, they believed in the Messiah, knew very, very quickly that this, after the crucifixion, death, and resurrection, that this Jesus was the Messiah. And so now Jesus is saying, everything that I've manifested to you, Luisa, these 40 years of writing, he says, this can be called the gospel of the kingdom. And he says this just to, if you want to say, make us aware that something magnificent is happening. Like Our Lady, when she does the Magnificat, she says, my soul magnifies the Lord, making us aware, who is this woman, Mary, who is now Theotokos, the mother of God? And we want to know more about her. It's the same thing here. Luisa, that which I manifest to you about my divine will, that you have been writing down, can be called the gospel of the kingdom of my divine will. And nothing does it oppose either sacred scripture or the gospel that I announce while being on earth. So here he says, you know, when people first hear it, they go, oh my goodness, something's happened. Jesus says this, on the contrary, it can be called the support of one and of the other. So like we've mentioned before, when you read the book of heaven, when you read this gospel of the kingdom, it's very clear that sacred scripture becomes more alive. Everything that's said in the Old Testament, everything that's said in the New Testament has a new beginning for us. We're in awe that what God is telling Luisa just magnifies, if you want to say, what was said in the Old Testament, the New Testament. Like this past week, just listening to Isaiah, it's just a magnificent reading, a magnificent writing, and it supports all of who Jesus is and what Jesus is going to do. But now Jesus says, I want you to know even more. I want to magnify the Old Testament. I want to magnify the New Testament for you. And this is what he says. He says, it doesn't oppose sacred scripture or the gospel that I announced while being on earth. On the contrary, it can be called the support of one and of the other. And this is why I, God, allow, and I, Jesus, call priests to come. See, this book of heaven is for the priests. And I know the laity loves it. When we were at the opening of the cause in 1994, the Archbishop Cassati said, you know, you love more Luisa than we do. He says, there's more foreigners in this church than natives. And he said, basically, I can't figure out why you are here, why you'd come halfway around the world to be at this opening of this cause. And he says, this is something that's magnificent. And now, worldwide, Luisa, the knowledge of Luisa and what Jesus has told her is growing all over the world. Things are changing. and time is coming to an end. We're going to see that the time that we've been in all this time has really trapped us. And I really believe God is going to free us from this, oppression, if you want to say, of time. So what does Our Lady say to Bruno in 1947? She says, "My children are going to, enter into eternity where they belong, where the children of Lucifer will always be trapped in time and space." So there's this negativity that's mentioned in time, and we're supposed to live in eternity. That's why we were created, to be one with God. And here he says, this is why I allow, and why I, God, call priests to come, call priests to read the gospel, all of heaven, to read the gospel of the kingdom of my divine fiat. So as to say, as I said to the apostles, preach it throughout the whole world. Now, he calls it the gospel of the kingdom, and God being God knows where that is written, Matthew 24. And what does he say? Until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world, the kingdom can't come. The kingdom can't be manifested. So what has he done? He's saved for the worst of times, the greatest gift that he presents to Louisa, the ultimate gift. He says, the crowning of my church. I'm going to crown my church with this great gift of the divine will, Jesus tells Louisa. So what is God doing? The first thing he does, he says, I'm calling the priests to come to read. I'm calling the priests to read all the gospel, all of heaven, the priests to read the gospel of the kingdom of my divine fiat, and to say to them, as I said to my apostles, preach it throughout the whole world. In fact, in my works, I have made use of the priesthood. And just as I had the priesthood before my coming in order to prepare the people, and the priesthood of my church in order to confirm my coming in everything I did. And I said, so I, Jesus, he says, I, God, have the priesthood, will have the priesthood of the kingdom of my divine will. So he goes right to this point. He shows that what he has planned, and he tells Louisa, we're going to read this a little later. He's going to tell Louisa what he has planned for the priesthood is what he originally planned for Adam. Adam was a priest, what he originally planned for all of humanity. And this is why the Father and Vatican II shows this. The Father is the family, is the father of their parish, of their home. This is why every home should have holy water. Every room should have a prayer room, if they can do that. Every house should have a crucifix. Every house should be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Every house becomes a holy place where, with that holy water, exercise holy water if you can, bless yourself going in and out as you would a church. The house of Nazareth, Jesus says to Louisa, has to become our houses of Nazareth. Every house must become a house of Nazareth where there is Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And now we have Louisa. So great things are happening. And our God is saying the priesthood is essential. What was Sunday's reading? Sunday's reading, yes. I mentioned to the priests, to the fathers, it is your job to bless. That's why on Sunday, the first reading was how to bless. It's the priest, the father, blesses his children. The Father leads in prayer. The Father, he is the one who by the command, basically, is to lead in prayer. And this is why with that authority of the Father, with that blessing of the Father, great things can happen in those families. And I know there's some people that don't want to hear that, but that's how it's set up. You know, it's God in his wisdom. This is how he set it up. So he says the same thing for his church. He says, and the priesthood of my church, to get ready to confirm my coming and everything. So I shall have a priesthood of the kingdom of my divine will. He says, here's the utility of the many things that I, Jesus, have manifested to you, Louisa, and the many surprising truths and the promises of the so many goods that I, God, must give to the children of the Fiat Voluntas Tua. See, this is what's coming is, as John Paul II said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, what was so great was he said, we are now going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. This is what the priests are going to bring to the people. This is what the priesthood is going to, the people are going to be on fire. When you read the three appeals, and the third appeal is to the priests, or the second appeal is to the priests, Louisa says to the priests, you give people a cold and stale bread that's hard to digest. Louisa says, if you read the divine will, you'll give them a bread that is filled with life. And they will be able to understand this gift that God wants to give to the world. So he's leaving it up to the priests. And he's saying to the priests, this is what I've planned. And either we're with him or we're not. And he's saying the priests are going to be with him. So he says, everything that I've manifested to you, the surprising truths. And when you read the Book of Heaven, every day you're surprised. Every day you are filled with a new beginning that God is giving to all the world. And in the divine will, God is doing it. As St. Louis de Montfort said, in the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's what's coming upon the earth. God is doing this. And there's no need to be afraid. I mean, if God has something planned, we say fiat and God does it. If God doesn't have something planned, we say fiat and it's not done. You will be very surprised. These surprising truths that Jesus, this help that Jesus has given us. It's almost as if in the divine will, you're working with the angels. You're working with the angels of heaven and they're doing the work. You know, you're saying, well, I'm going to build a barn. And you think, well, I got to do this. And the angels go, when you're working in the divine will, all of a sudden, this is how you do it. This is why you do it. This is where you do it. This is where you get everything starts happening. And this is the divine will. It's so surprising of how simple everything is. When if it's God's will, he is accomplishing it. All we're doing is cooperating. That's all we're doing. So here he says, the surprising truths, the surprising promises of the so many goods that I, God, must give to my children who are living in the divine will, the Fiat Voluntas Tua. And he says, all these manifestations, he says, shall be the gospel, the basis, the inexhaustible font from which all shall draw the celestial life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the terrestrial happiness, Eden, and the restoration of their creation. See, once we enter into this gift, Jesus says, there will be no hurricanes, floods, plagues, tornadoes, earthquakes. There can't be. The only thing that's out of order is humanity. All the rest of creation is in order. They haven't left the divine will. Only humanity has left the divine will by the original sin. And Jesus is calling humanity after we've been redeemed. He's calling humanity now to be sanctified. What does that mean? Everything will be peaceful, ordered, and tranquil again. This is what he says. I must give to the children this fiat, voluntas tua, the gospel, the basis, the inexhaustible font that will shall draw the celestial life, the terrestrial happiness, the restoration of their creation. Adam could talk Adam could talk to the plants and they would obey him. the command that Adam had as king of the earth, king of the world, was gone when once he was out of the divine will. The office, the royalty that God gave him was gone. This is coming back to humanity. This is going to come back to humanity. These are the surprises. These are the inexhaustible font of celestial life or terrestrial happiness, restoration of creation. Everything seems to go wrong, you know, I mean, on earth because of the fallen nature. But once we're restored with the divine nobility that Jesus says is the divine will, to truly become children of God again in his image and likeness, everything is going to be in order. Everything's going to happen perfectly. So he says this, oh, how happy the people shall feel. Those with yearnings shall drink in large gulps from these fonts of my knowledges, my truths, my promises, my manifestations, because they contain the virtue of bringing the life of heaven on earth and manifesting and banishing all unhappiness. All unhappiness will be gone. Why? When the kingdom of God comes on earth as it is in heaven, when that happens, the evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth, will be banished. Now you have to understand, not just to another planet, but out of the galaxy. Out, gone, not to bother humanity until that time when he's going to come back and try one more time. And we're going to go look at him and go, sorry, thank you, but no, thank you. Go to where you belong. You know, God has to prove to the evil one that he can't destroy God. He can't win. And the pride of this evil one is so great that he thinks he can destroy God. He thinks he can stop what God has planned. He can't. And Jesus is going to use us who are nobodies, we're nothings, to prove to him, the evil one, he can't do this any longer. See, what's coming upon the earth, and this is what you get glimpses of when you read, when you study these manifestations, these truths, these promises that Jesus gives to Louisa on every page. As Jesus is showing Louisa this and teaching Louisa this, and Louisa puts it down on paper so that we can read this and study it and put it into practice, we're going to realize that heaven is going to be on earth soon. The kingdom is going to be on earth as it is heaven. So Jesus says, if you can't tell the signs of the times, he says, you know, you look in the sky and you see clouds coming, you know, it's going to rain. He says, if you can't see that, you're not going to be able to see the natural signs that God is going to bring with this kingdom. It's very obvious what's happening. I mean, very obvious what's happening. And Jesus is saying to us, are you willing to begin to live this abundant life? Are you willing to begin to live heaven now on earth? So in these times when everybody's worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, everybody's panicking, Jesus is saying, trust me. Jesus, the final gift that he gave to Sister Mary, Faustina, the final gift that he gave to Sister Faustina was, Jesus, I trust in you. That's the final devotion, divine mercy. Why? What's coming is we are going to depend on God completely, trusting in him completely, no matter what we have to face. So he says this. I mean, I just love this. He says, the souls that long for this, that yearn for this, are going to drink large gulps from these fonts of my knowledges, my truths, my manifestations, because they contain a bringing the life of heaven on earth and banishing all unhappiness. Then in hearing this, she said, Louisa says, I was thinking to myself about the big issues concerning the writings of the divine will, that these writings are in Messina, brought there before the blessed memory of Venerable Father de Francia, then he died. How myself and my other superiors absolutely want these writings back in Corrado, while the superiors in Messina, rigorously recommended by Venerable Father De Francia before he died, wants to keep them over there for their publication when God pleases. So we do nothing but send letters of fire, these letters of love back and forth to keep them and for us to get them back. So here Luisa is going, what's going on? I mean, that's where we are today in a small way. What's going on? And it, again, Jesus says, I predestine you to live at this time. I predestine you to have the writings of Luisa so that you can go through this. I thought I'm going to sneeze again. So anyways. Okay. All right. We'll try not to, not mind over matter. We'll try not to sneeze. Okay. So she says, I was thinking about this concern, these writings, and I was feeling all worried and bored and tired. And I was saying to myself, how could good Jesus allow all this? That's what I hear on the phone constantly from everybody. How is this happening? Why is this happening? How could God do this? Who knows whether he too feels disappointed? And Jesus, moving in my interior, told me. So again, Jesus tells Luisa and tells us where he is. He's in the interior of Luisa. He's in the interior of us. He bought us with his precious blood, shed every drop of blood to redeem us. We belong to him. Now, nothing to worry about. He says, my daughter, you are worried, but I am, he uses God's name, I am not disappointed at all. Now here, we're getting a glimpse of the fun that God loves to have. He puts things in situations and he says, how are you going to react to it? And here, you're all worried. You're all feeling worried. He says, I'm not worried at all. That's what God is calling us to. Yes, crazy things are happening all around us, but we're not worried. We're not worried. I'm not disappointed. On the contrary, I enjoy, listen to this, in seeing the interest that the priests take in these writings that shall form the kingdom of my divine will on earth as it is in heaven. He says, I enjoy watching the priests read and study these books. You have them in Messina, you have them here. And he says, I love this. Finally, he says, after 6,000 years, I have my priests to know this, to learn this, to study this, to proclaim this. Jesus says this means that they appreciate the great good of these writings, and each one would want to keep such a great treasure within himself, to be the first to communicate it to others. This is what we're going to see. This is what we're going to see with all the priests, all the bishops, all the deacons, all the cardinals, the Pope himself. This is what we're going to see. We're going to witness this. We're going to witness the priests on fire with this great gift of the divine will. And everyone, and Jesus says, everyone will become Catholic. Everyone in the world will become Catholic. That's how powerful these writings are. Right now, with sacred scripture, with the dogma and doctrine of our church, we have 1 billion out of 7 billion who are Catholic. One seventh of the world. Jesus is saying, I want more. I want everyone. That's what's coming. Jesus says in volume 24, he says, there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will be Catholic. Everyone will understand this universal life that Adam lost and will want it back. They'll begin to read and study and put it into practice of what God wants to give to them. As he breathed the Ruah of God, the breath of God into Adam, he says he's going to do this with us. He wants to breathe in us, breathe in our breathing, beat in our heart beating. He wants to become alive in us as he was with Adam. So we receive Holy Communion. He says, why? so that when you receive Holy Communion for that first 15 minutes until the host dissolves, you're in communion in a mystical way, a real, but a mystical way until the host dissolves. He says, the reason is to prepare my children for a perennial communion that all of mankind's going to have with God, where we will walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening as Adam did. That's what's coming. A glorious things are right around the corner. And God is saying to us, are you ready for what I'm going to do? I'm going to show you the way and the how it's going to happen, but it's up to you. How much do you want this? He says, 30, 60, or 100-fold, whatever you want, I'll give to you. We should be so involved in studying this that we should be on fire as they were on fire wanting these writings, the Messina and Corrado. He says, and while the issue of who is going to win last, one approaches the other in order to consult one another on what to do. And I, God, enjoy more that more of my priests get to know that there is this treasure so great of making known the kingdom of my divine will. And I, God, will use this to form the first priests of my coming kingdom of my fiat. And that's what he's doing. This is going to, I mean, you've heard, spark will set the world on fire. Spark from Poland. I really do believe that spark was John Paul II, which he's the one that said, when Archbishop Cassati said, we'd like Luisa to be canonized, we want to do her cause. He says, go to it with at that time, Cardinal Ratzinger. I really do believe this is the spark. And this, everything's ready. Everything's ready. And this spark is going to set the world on fire. And the fire is the fire of God's love upon the earth. That's what's coming. And God has called us to live at this time. And he's giving us the opportunity. Like I said before, I remember when all we had was mimeograph sheets of paper. We didn't have any books. Everything was locked up in the Vatican, in the secret archives. Now we have everything. I mean, if we really think about it. And it's up to each priest to 30, 60, or 100-fold. Whatever you want, God says, I will give you. Whatever you want, he says. So he says this. He says, I'm going to use this great treasure. I'm going to enjoy more of my priests getting to know that there is this great treasure, so great, of making known the kingdom of my divine fiat, my divine will. And I will use this to form the first priests of my coming kingdom of my fiat. Then he says, Luisa, my daughter, it is a great necessity to form the first priests. This is God's greatest necessity at this time. That's why the priesthood is being purified. God is checking each priest and saying, how do you want to live? He says, they shall serve me like the first apostles served me to form my church. And the priests who shall occupy themselves with these writings in order to publish them, put them out to print them, to make them known, they shall be called the new evangelists of the kingdom of my supreme will. And just as the ones who are most mentioned in my gospel are the four evangelists who wrote it to their highest honor and my glory, he says, so shall they be for those priests who shall occupy themselves with the writings and the knowledges of my divine will in order to publish them. Like new evangelists, there shall be greater mention of them in the kingdom of my divine will to their highest honor, my greatest glory in seeing the order of the creature, the life of the heaven on earth, the life of heaven on earth, the only purpose of creation. That's the return to my bosom, to return to the womb of God. This is where everybody's going to be. God's got this so well planned that it doesn't matter what you see happening right now in the church and in the world. God's getting everything ready. He's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He's got everything ready. And all that he's asking of us is, are you willing to want what I want? I want the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. The only prayer that I gave to the apostles. And he says to the priests, will you lead the charge? Will you do this? Will you be my officers in my army? And he talks about the army quite often. He talks about the army of the divine will. He says, if you want what I want, he says, you'll lead the charge. We're nobodies, we're nothings. But Jesus says this. So he says this, therefore, in these circumstances, I, Jesus, expand the circle. And like a fisherman, listen to this, I, God, catch those priests who must serve me for a kingdom so holy. Therefore, let me do, and don't be worried. He says this to Louisa. He says this to Louisa often. Let me do this. I'm really good at being God, Jesus says. Let me do this. I'm going to do this. The kingdom is coming. The Our Father is going to be fulfilled. The evil one's going to be banished. The kingdom's going to be here. And he says to Louisa, basically, I'm going to give you everything so that you can give it to the priests who will give it to the lay people. He says, this is his plan. And I know there's a number of people who want to talk about the divine will, but it's like a lay person in the pulpit on Sunday. They might give a good talk, but there's no power there. They might give a really nice talk, but the homily is Jesus speaking. The homily is the alter Christus, the other Christ, another Christ. We have to follow what Jesus has planned, and he's got this plan so well. And like I said, he loves to play with us. He loves to watch how we react. When we're going, he's going, take it easy. I'm in charge. He puts us in situations that seem impossible. Why? Because he says, don't just take it easy. I'm in control. God's in control. That's how priests have to live, with full confidence in him. No fears, no worries, no complaints, no negativities. It's, Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I have confidence in you. Jesus, you're my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King. You're my all. I know you're going to do this. When we read, study, and put this into practice, what each priest is going to experience is this light, this love, this light, this love, this life of God. That's what God wants. He wants us to enter into what God breathed into Adam, the first priest. What God breathed into Adam, he wants to breathe into the priest, into all of humanity. So don't be afraid of this. Just keep on reading, studying, and put this into practice. And if you have a question, your answer is in the book of heaven. Guarantee you. If you're reading, you come to this, wait a minute, I don't understand this right here. Don't be a stick in the mud. Just say, okay, Lord, show me what that means. And then you just keep on reading. I can guarantee you, two or three pages later, there it is. There's your answer. And you go, wow, you answered it so quickly. That's what you're going to experience. You're going to experience, as Jesus was saying to Louisa, he says, everything goes hand in hand. He wants to work with his priests. He is working with his priests. And he says, I enjoy that more priests get to know that there is this great treasure, so great, of making known the kingdom of my divine will. And I will use this to form the first priests of my coming kingdom of the fiat. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for all the divine healing of all the little children, the holy divine will. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.